Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
On the Penn State Sports Network, from Learfield IMG College, Nittany Lion Basketball is on the air.
Fires the three, gone, and Lamar Stevens drops the tray. Far corner at the wire, Jones got it! Stevens goes on Lindell, kicks it to Watkins, slant dunk. Stevens, his passing tonight has been incredible.
Been awesome.
Far wing Jones, three ball gone.
That ball movement has just been spectacular all night.
And a steal by Brockington. Cowan the bead, Lance slant dunk right here. A spectacular play. Waits, two to shoot, far corner Brockington at the wire, got it!
Biggest shot of the game so far.
Jones in the corner, won't foul him. That's it. Penn State knocks off fourth Lake Maryland, and here they come onto the floor. The Nittany Lions win it 76-69.
The Nittany Lions play here. When you think sports, think 1070 AM WKOK. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Wednesday, December 11th, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here. Steve will be there in just a few in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email, stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And subscribe to our podcast. We are on the Apple Podcast app as well as Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. Hit the subscribe button, and once our shows are done live on WKOK, we drop them right into your smartphone and tablet. Take them with you. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. We also have 3 months of previously archived shows, so you can go back in time and replay them anytime you'd like at stevejonesshow.com. So we're with you live till 5. And then we'll have the late day news roundup. And Blugis and the boys and girls will be back in the Magic Radio Room tonight at 6. We'll have another Talk to Santa for you as we are now 2 weeks away from Christmas Day. And then we'll roll out the Resolite tonight, kick off another season of Shikellamy Wrestling with the longtime voice of the Braves grapplers, Steve Williams. Great to have Steve back on the radio tonight as we crank up another season of Braves Wrestling here on WKOK. So it was earlier this decade, Garrett Cole started his Major League Baseball career in Pittsburgh, finishing the decade with the richest pitching contract, at least as of now. It was Steven Strasburg's for about, what, 48 hours? Something like that. And then just before midnight last night, the news came down with Garrett Cole going to the Bronx, 9 years, $324 million. As the Cole train will be in NYC. So, hot stove continues for Major League Baseball as the winter meetings roll on in San Diego. Now, how ironic is that? You know, the big names here in the hot stove meetings, Steven Strasburg, Garrett Cole. Who represents both of them? Scott Boras. I wonder if his take is it 10%, do you think? 15% maybe? Something like that. 8% minimum. So, it's what, it's one guy who will have a Merry Christmas. I think last year there wasn't, you didn't have these big fat contracts that were signed last year. Not a lot of spending took place last year during the winter meetings. So lots of teams are making up for lost time, that's for sure. So one big name that's still out there is Anthony Rendon. We'll find out if he ends up back in Texas. See if he ends up with maybe the Rangers or with the Astros or maybe the Nationals. We'll re-sign him. We'll have to wait and see. But at least we knew Strasburg all along. He wanted to stay in D.C., and Scott Boras was able to make that happen for him. It's probably something the Philadelphia Phillies fans don't want to hear, but that, at least with the Washington Nationals, they are spending the bulk of their big bucks with their pitching. Now with Strasburg, Max Scherzer, Patrick Corbin, all getting big contracts. So they're in it for the long haul for sure. And now with the Atlanta Braves bringing in Cole Hamels, but only for a year, I'll have to wait and see how that all shakes out. So I know the Phillies have... The Phillies yesterday, actually, received word that the Phillies signed Didi Gregorius, leaving the Yankees to go to Philadelphia for 1 year. So I figured sooner or later we would see a former Yankee join Joe Girardi in Philadelphia. But look at it this way.
I like Didi.
I do, too. He's a good player. Steve, you look at it this way. You got Didi at shortstop. Yep. You put Kingery at third, and you move Gene Segura over to second base. In one move, you're taking care of three positions in the infield. So that's a very smart move for the Phillies.
No, I think it's a good move. And I don't think that the Phillies are going to pay $324 million for Gerrit Cole. that contract short-term is really, really good. Long-term, it's really, really bad. So, I mean, that's how I look at it. Short term, it's really, really good because I think he'll be terrific for the Yankees in the next couple, maybe 3 years. But I think once they get the year four, that's a 9-year contract. Egad, I don't know. At that point, I think you're. Now it's not my money, but boy, look at, you know how I feel about these contracts. I mean. What I'm saying is rooted in ideology. So it's rooted in ideology.
It was a club option after, year five? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. But it's rooted in ideology with me. Ideology, I would not give a pitcher more than three. But realistically, you can't do that. You can't get away with it. I mean, you can't just sit there and say, we're only going to give you three. You're not going to get any players if it's three. It's just the way it is. So realistically, it makes no sense. Idealistically, that's what I would prefer. All right. And the basketball game last night. Let me get into the basketball game last night. I think you could tell in the pregame show how Dick Girardi and I felt about this going in, that we expected Penn State to win, and they did.
I was floored, though, how long it took them to get to the free throw line. My goodness.
36 minutes and 5 seconds. You figure at some point that the dam would break. 36-05. Yet, the odd thing is that for the most part, Dick and I both will tell you, we thought the game was actually pretty well officiated. You know, doesn't mean it was perfect. I think perfect really was the broadcast. No, it's okay.
I agree.
I listened to it. It was another horror show.
No such thing as perfect.
There's only one perfect broadcast. That's the one you get awards for.
Award winner.
So, we thought Penn State was the better team going in. That doesn't mean we think Maryland's a bad team. Quite the opposite. Dick and I both feel that Maryland is really, really good. Really, really good. But we just feel Penn State's a little bit better. Now, the perception of Penn State being a little bit better, of course, is taken apart because of what happened with Ohio State Saturday. Thus, I could understand completely somebody saying, how can the two of you feel that way after what you watched Saturday? And we both felt that it was the aberration, and we both felt strongly that, and I think I said in the pre, I think, you can quote me if I'm wrong on this, that I said in the pregame show, in the next 2.5 hours, we're going to find out that that was yesterday's news, I think is what I said. Which then I closed out and said, I said it was yesterday's news, because we felt strongly about that. I mean, we felt strongly about that. And this is just based on, this is based on our experience, how much the two of us have covered and so forth. Penn State basketball has a really good starting lineup. When I thought Patrick Chambers did a great job of running, getting them to run an opening set that got Mike Watkins a dunk right away. That did two things. Well, it did three things. Number one, they scored. Number two, it got the crowd engaged out of the gate, and the crowd was terrific last night. They had almost 9,000 there. And for a Tuesday night at the Jordan Center, that's really, really good. So they scored, they got the crowd engaged right away, and they got Mike Watkins mentally engaged right away. That was a great opening set. At the end of the first half, right? Most people expect you to rim run with 0.6 seconds to go. And Sean knows, because Sean was listening to the broadcast, what did I say? I said, because I had I've seen them run this before. I said, they've got enough time for a jump shot. And they got the ball in, and Myron Jones hit the three at the wire. Again, because I've seen them practice this before. This is not, it was not unusual to see Penn State run that play. They ran the play I thought they were going to run. And that's why I said you can get a jump shot.
And at the horn, you and Dick were completely 100% right there. Oh, yeah, that left his hands before the lights lit up on the backboard. I wasn't sure for a second if it was still on the fingertips, but yeah, they replayed it twice on TV, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah, well, yeah, we didn't think it was close.
Yeah.
So now in the second half, Maryland, because they are a good team. That's why I always love the overrated chant. Overrated, overrated. Something like that. How about you chant out like you're underrated? Penn State's underrated. Underrated.
It goes back to what you just said a minute or so ago about the just the amount of basketball combined that you and DJ have witnessed. And Dick, without hesitation, said in my 16 years of covering this game with you, he said this is the best team he's seen.
Yeah. And obviously the 96 team was really, really good. Really good. The difference between the 96 team and this team, and again, there's a long, long way to go. This team has many, many chapters to write. Many chapters to write. But at least through 10 chapters, the 96 team had a terrific starting lineup. They had 4 3-point shooters on the floor, and Calvin Booth is a redshirt freshman in the middle. The difference is that's where they're better than this team. The difference is, though, with this team is that they are more athletic than that team, and they're deeper than that team. That team could not bring an Isaiah Brockington off the bench, or a John Hara, or a Curtis Jones, or a Seth Lundy. They don't have that 96 team. But the starting lineup was a terrific collection of players that started. Glenn Secunda as a stretch three. Gaudio added a three-point shot. Lisicki and Earl were just really, really good players.
I meant to bring this up to you, and I didn't get a chance. So go back to the tournament, the NIT pre-tournament in the Barclays Center over the Thanksgiving holiday. I heard Fran Fraschilla say he had lots of glowing words to say about Seth Lundy and how his future is going to be.
Yeah, I had a lot of talks with Fran. In fact, it's funny because Fran, Jim Sadlin, and I were talking in the lobby, and Jim Boeheim comes by, and everyone's like, "Hi, Jim." It's like, oh, jeez. I was like, I don't think we're going to go over and talk to Jim right now. Fran knows his basketball. And see, here's the glory of Seth Lundy. I feel Seth Lundy is a really talented player who's going to be a heck of a player here at Penn State. And he's had his moments. He's already had three double-figure games. I thought the game he played against Syracuse was tremendous, where he just stepped in and scored 10. I feel Seth Lundy has played a relaxed game so far. And you want to know why? Because he doesn't have any pressure on him to do anything except play and compete within his own game. He doesn't have to play 34, 35 minutes a game. Lamar Stevens does that. And I think it's allowed Seth to play a more relaxed game within himself instead of trying to do something at this hour he's not capable of. In other words, he'll be able to develop into a more complete player because having Lamar Stevens there is buying him time to do it instead of being forced to do it because he has to be the guy. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Our second high school football roundtable is coming up tomorrow to look at the state of high school football in the Valley and in the state. What's good, and there's a lot that is good, and also what may need to be either tweaked or changed, in their opinion. We're going to get the experts that know this better than anybody. They know it better than I do, because they're out there in the trenches every day, that love the game, and at the same time promote the game and also feel there are ways maybe to improve what we're seeing. That'll be tomorrow's show. And then our bowl picks will be on Friday. Are we going to spend a whole hour doing that? Because the last time we did it, we had a preview of the Celebration Bowl for a half an hour.
That will not happen this year. I already made that vividly clear to our new executive vice president of sales.
Look, there's 41 bowl games. I mean, last year we did the bowl picks. We spent a half hour in the Celebration Bowl, and then the other 40 bowl picks we spent 26 minutes on.
I mean, I understand you're the three-time bowl pick champion here on the show.
I think he's five.
Yeah, it's true.
I believe it's five. Am I correct about that, El Suteroni?
You are, yeah. Just make sure he hears it. Make sure he's listening.
Oh, no, anything to stroke his ego. Well, I mean, believe me, right? Ever since he got the interim tag taken off, we had to expand the doors.
I think I can.
Sunbury Motors Kia knows they can. 2019 has been a great year for Sunbury Motors Kia. They need 24 new Kia sold to reach their best sales year ever. Buy a new 2020 Kia Soul S for only $17,549. Save over $4,300. Two SUVs you have to put on your list are the Kia Sorento and Sportage. At SMC, a 2020 Kia Sportage is a steal at $24,549. Save over $5,000. And a 2019 Kia Sorento S all-wheel drive is $27,999. That's over $8,000 in discounts. Sunbury Motors needs just 24 new Kia sold to break their one-year sales record. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
I think I can.
This little import dealer knows they can. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Donnie Collins in just a few moments. We will discuss Ricky Ronnie going to Old Dominion. It looks like it's a five-year deal. And Ricky is going to make, it looks like, about $750,000 a year. And remember, it's Old Dominion. And I think this is a great opportunity for him to go in, be a head coach. And I think, how much I really genuinely like Ricky Ronnie. Great family. Terrific kids. Jennifer's awesome. It's like, yeah, I hope he does really, really well there. Really well. And I think he will. Yeah. I think he'll do very well there. So, with that, let's bring in Donnie Collins, Grand Times Tribune. I know we had Donnie on earlier in the week, but, of course, we were just talking about the bowl then. Now we got this to talk about. Hey, Donnie, welcome back.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Doing well. Okay, right. Let's start, obviously, with Ricky Ronnie, the Old Dominion job. Your thoughts on Ricky getting a head coaching position?
It just kind of goes back with me to about 2017, I think it was, and you might have been at the dinner, but Ricky was the
I was
the guest speaker.
I was the MC.
Yeah, you usually are.
Actually, I've done 20 years in a row now, Donnie. This will be 21 coming up. But go ahead.
He said that night in front of the room here, something I had never heard him say before was that, you know, my goal here is really to be an offensive coordinator. I have no designs on ever being a head coach. So I heard that, and obviously I asked him about that later, and he gave a good answer. He said, you know, offensive coordinators still get to coach. Head coaches sometimes don't get to do as much coaching as they'd like to do. And I understood that, but I never believed him because I thought he'd be a really good head coach. He's smart. Yep. He's organized. And what I think he really does well is he could sell you on an idea or a program without ever coming off sounding like a salesman. And I thought, this guy is going to get some offers. Did I know that they would come 2 years into his tenure? No.
Right.
I thought they might, but eventually somebody was going to want this guy to come in and rebuild their program. And you know, looking at Old Dominion, they were 1-11 last year, but they were in a lot of games. I think they were within a touchdown of Virginia and Virginia Tech in the fourth quarter. I mean, one of them they were beating in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So this is a program with some talent. They just need the right direction, and I think Ricky's the kind of guy who could go in there, be steady, you know, recruit the area, which he does really well. He recruited Scranton very well. Everybody up here really, really likes Ricky Ronnie.
Yes.
And he's a guy who I think was a very smart hire, and he was going to be a very smart hire for somebody at some point. And I think he's going to do a really, really great job. Now, Penn State's going to miss him because I was looking forward to seeing if he had stayed long term, like he said, it was his original goal that, you know, I thought he was going to get better and better, but plans change, and I think this is a good opportunity for him to see where he can go in the profession, and it's a good opportunity for Old Dominion to get a guy who coached in a major conference, won championships, and you know, I think it's a good hire all around.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, as time goes, you spend 2 years as an offensive coordinator, which means now you're in charge of an entire half of the football team. And sometimes you do get a feeling of like, you know what, you know, I can be a head coach. And yeah. I think, you know, Ricky has found that out. He can be a head coach, and I think this will be. I think it's the right spot. I mean, it fits right. I think it's the right spot at the right time for him.
I totally agree, and it's hard to look somebody in the eye when they tell you they want you to run their program and you're a football coach to not evaluate, is this something I at some point I'm going to want to do? And I think with Ricky, like I mentioned, the recruiting, that's a big recruiting area. Obviously everybody knows that.
The Tidewater area is gigantic.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. Norfolk's had some, they have some really, really good prospects out of there. Lackawanna gets a couple of them every year up here at the junior college level. So and he's recruited Lackawanna, so he knows that. But yeah, I think he's a guy who can make, especially in Conference USA, could win some battles in recruiting. And he's not going to do it in a splashy way, but he's going to tell you what you need to know, and he's going to promise a good education, a good foundation, and he's going to provide that. He's done at Penn State, everything he said he was going to do for the kids, for the program, mm-hmm. for James Franklin, and I'm thrilled for the guy. I don't know anybody who's ever met Ricky Ronnie who doesn't like him.
That's right.
And I think this is a, you know, for Old Dominion, I think it's a really good hire. Now, is it going to work out long term? No, there's some really good coaches who you can't tell the future.
Sure.
But I think they've put themselves in a position for success because of him.
Right. And great family, terrific wife, terrific kids. He does something with his kids every year. They try to get to 3 to 4 different major league ballparks a year. They're mm-hmm. trying to get to all 30. Look, they're just a really, really nice, neat family, and I hope he does really, really well down there. Now it brings up the next part. Now we've talked about Ricky and how much he deserves the opportunity, and we both think he will do very well in this opportunity. Now the next thing is, what does Penn State do? and obviously, James Franklin usually keeps 4 or 5 different names and stays in the loop on these things. So it's not as if he's not prepared for the day when something like this happens. Now it's going to be interesting to see what the answer ends up being.
Yeah, you get the feeling Franklin's one of those guys that has a depth chart of coaches in his head. Who, if this guy leaves, I'm going to try to get this guy. And what makes this an interesting hire, unlike the last one, when Moorhead came in, I think everybody was like, "Oh, this is a hire that could change the program." I think this is a program. This is a hire that could take the program to the next level. Because you're going to have a more experienced offense than Ricky had last year, and you're going to have a more open talent pool coaching wise, because you've now got a position that's sent two coaches on to be head coaches with Moorhead and Ronnie.
Right.
So people are going to want this job. And I'm not going to pretend to know what that depth chart is with James, but this is not one of those deals where I'm trying to come up with a list of guys and struggling. But there's a bunch of guys who I think that they could go after and who would do a good job and who would be interested. And I'm not sure any kind of small promotion here I think someone would take, because this is a stepping stone job now. You could take this and move on and get a really, really good position if you want to be a head coach. And I think Moorhead and Ronnie have proved that.
Yeah, see, I think that's the key part. I think anybody who wants upward mobility, because Penn State, now this part will be my personal opinion, but Penn State, especially in the last 4 years, has not only won, but they've been fun to watch doing it because of how wide open they are. So they're entertaining to the fan, they're entertaining on TV, and it's a style that wins, which in the end is what you need, is a style that wins. And now it's shown to be a style that gets you to the next level as a head coach.
Yes, and I look at it a lot, you know, quite the same way, in the sense that people take notice. You know, if you're playing a fun style, and that's what Phil Moorhead did at Fordham. And you know, Phil Moorhead wasn't a household name by any stretch of the imagination when Penn State hired him, but that was a guy who ran a fun style, who was unashamedly, you know, arrogant about how good it was, and knew it would work at the next level, and it has. Now, whether Penn State keeps, you know, they certainly can keep this offense in its entirety right now and make a hire on the staff, but they could tweak it a little bit. There's guys out there who can, you know, who could tweak it a little bit. There's and kind of build off of it. But I think they're going to want to keep this style, no matter who they bring in, and that doesn't necessarily narrow the list of candidates by any stretch of the imagination, but it does kind of narrow the scope of, I'm looking for this style of guy. I mean, and everybody's looking at, everybody wants Joe Brady, but yeah, and he said he wants to stay at LSU, but you know, a guy that I'm thinking, you know, a guy like Charles Huff, this is a guy who has been here. He's at Alabama. He's an associate head coach at Alabama, and I'm not so sure in the past becoming the offensive coordinator at Penn State would have been a big enough step up to take that job. But now I think it might be. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to go after Huff. I'm just saying that that's the kind of guy who, with a title that he currently has, you might be able to see him. You know, a guy like that in that current kind of position come in and be a candidate here.
Right. And, of course, as everybody knows, Joe Brady's the hot name out there across all of coaching. He's not the coordinator at LSU. He is not. But he was a grad assistant here for 2 years. That's why the name is going to come up. That's the reason why. Interesting, though. And style of play. You're also, if whomever takes this job, you're going to inherit, quote, two veteran quarterbacks.
Yes.
I mean, that's a big plus in taking this job, that you're inheriting people that actually, that when you get them, know how to play.
Two veteran quarterbacks, four linemen returning,
yep,
whatever the number is, potentially some receivers who've made big plays, and how many running backs you have next year. I don't know how it all shakes out with a portal or whatever, but you could have as many as, you know, four guys coming back with two guys coming in who are pretty talented. I mean, this offense should be loaded next year, and people are going to look at it that way. If you're looking at potentially moving on up to become an offensive coordinator or switching jobs or whatever. So I have a feeling Franklin's going to have his pick.
Yeah, and then there's a recruiting class that's coming up next week, which then adds to the potential excitement for what's going on with this job and also for the fan base. Donnie, always a pleasure. Great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Thanks to Donnie Collins. Donnie's been on with us a couple times this week. Talking about, A, the bowl game, the college football playoff, and now about Ricky Ronnie taking the Old Dominion head coaching job. And now the door is open as to who will be the new offensive coordinator for Penn State. We'll find out what kind of read we get as time goes. It could be next week we find out. I mean, James Franklin seems to move rather quickly on these things. Could be letter of intent day we find out. Could be the 20th when he has his bowl press conference when we find out. Whatever. At least temporarily, the key will be who is the one that will be calling the plays in the bowl game. I know there have been obviously some volunteers that would like to do it, who have proven over and over again on various websites that they can call plays. So, you know, maybe they're an option. No? Bad idea? Bad idea, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I'd broach it.
Sure. You don't know unless you try.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. We talked about basketball earlier, and really what the expectation was for Dick Girardi and me going into the game, that we thought, I mean, you listened. We have one faithful listener, right? One faithful listener, and one critic sitting in a back office. Should have heard my Shikalimi broadcast with Warrior Run. All right. And we both were confident they were going to win the game. Why? Because we think Penn State's good. Now, you have to take Saturday, or Tuesday, last night, and follow it up with Saturday. Alabama's coming here Saturday. Alabama is 4-4, but they have won their last couple. They beat Stephen F. Austin the last time out. Yes, the same Stephen F. Austin that went to Cameron Indoor and beat Duke. They have talent. Kyra Lewis is a really good player. John Petty's a really good scorer. Jaden Shackelford, who comes off the bench, freshman, really good scorer. They're a high-paced team, 80 possessions a game. They are also a high turnover team at nearly 19 a game. So that's what they'll bring to the table. They're also a team that this week is going through finals. Penn State's finals are next week. That's why I had several, you know, and I don't expect, if you don't have children or grandchildren in college, I don't expect you to know when the finals happen to be for said university. So there are several Penn State fans that were saying, oh, yeah, no, they're, you know this is finals week. They won't be here for the game Saturday. And you point out that, you know, and because I teach, I know the schedule. So that's what the advantage I have.
And I said, no. I said finals are next week. I said, this weekend is the, quote, the study weekend. Which, of course, that's, you know, you study as much as you want. I said, so the students will be here. Alabama's actually the one that's in finals this week. That's why when they played Stephen F. Austin, that was it until they played Penn State. So Alabama's in finals this week. Then they'll finish up their finals, and they'll fly in here for Saturday's game, which is at 2 o'clock at the Jordan Center. The football banquet is Sunday at 3 over at the Penn Stater. And then next Wednesday, in fact, football's going to practice tomorrow. They're going to practice Saturday. And then they have practices working around finals next week, and letter of intent day is Wednesday. And Penn State looks at the, quote, early signing period as the signing period. That's how James looks at it now. Instead of the first Wednesday of February, which forever was the signing date, Penn State looks at this signing date as the signing date. And then the other one happens to be, hey, look, can you get a guy here or two? And they've had some good players in the late signing period since they've gone to the early signing period. Jason Owe would be a good example. Well, you know, technically, because Owe had, I believe, signed before the early one, but wanted to hold off telling everybody until he was at the All-Star game. And Jason's importance to the program, which was already important to begin with, is going to take on greater importance starting with this game, with Yetur Gross-Matos opting for the NFL draft. So that's, but, you know, at Joseph Darquhar, for example, last year he was a late signing. But for the most part, this, quote, early signing period, which is going to be a week from today, is the signing day. So football will practice tomorrow. They'll practice Saturday. They've got a lot of recruits in this weekend, and they've got signing day. They have the banquet on Sunday, and signing day is on Wednesday. And then media day will be on Friday the 20th, and then at that point, they've got to go to the Metroplex. And I believe I'm going the 26th. And Jack's going in Christmas night, the 25th, and I'm going in the morning of the 26th. Because we talked about that earlier today. Told him about your situation, Sean.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he mentioned the suit and said he didn't blame you. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.